Welcome to today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light. Sun, Salt, and Light, S-O-N, knowing and growing in your daily relationship with Jesus Christ, but also being the salt and the light in your marriage, in your family, at your place of work, at your church, and even in the community you're in. I'm Pastor Michael Petit. This is a radio ministry of our church, Calvary Chapel Divine, here in Divine, Texas. We are so glad that you joined us for today's broadcast. We are a Calvary Chapel, so we simply teach the Bible verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We believe that God uses His Word to transform, restore, and to change lives one verse at a time. If you're visiting our area, you'd like to get information about our church or church service times, maybe even track down some of the other teachings that we have available through podcast, whether it's through Audible or Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you can do all of that at our church website at calvarydivine.org. That's calvarydivine.org. Today, if you have your Bibles ready, we are in the book of Genesis, chapter 19, verses 5. I simply entitled this, "A Compromised Christian Will Negotiate with the Wicked." A compromised Christian will negotiate with the wicked. I needed to kind of give you just a heads up. If you have little ones around, we are going to be dealing with Sodom and Gomorrah. And so we deal with some heavy subject matter. So we have to deal with sodomy, homosexuality, sexual morality, and rape. And so I just want to make sure that if you're listening to this in the car and you have kids, or you're listening to it at the house and you have kids, or you're listening, God bless you if you want to put this on at work, because it's going to trigger somebody at your workplace. But I just wanted to let you know ahead of time that we are going to be dealing with those subjects as we look at Sodom and Gomorrah. And over the next few weeks, we look at the destruction of it. Remember this, is God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. His word does not change with the culture or the times. As some would say, I've heard some progressive Christians actually try to use that, that God got it wrong, that Jonathan and King David's relationship, and they go into this whole argument that's eisegesis, which is they're taking... adding their own opinion to the scriptures. And what we want to do is exegesis, meaning that we want the context to speak for itself. Context is king. That's what we always tell our students at School of Ministry. Context is king. Let the scripture speak for itself. And what is, I share this a couple of times in the teaching, what is not in the Bible? Your opinion. Your opinion's not in the Bible. And so if you are triggered by some of this stuff, is the word that is used today, I would tell you to search out the scriptures for yourself. If you say that God only dealt with it in the Old Testament, no, He deals with it in the New Testament as well. And so I would ask you to just simply listen to the teaching. If you have any questions or you have any comments or opinions, you can hit me up with those at calvarydivine.org. But I would also ask, if maybe you listen to this and you go, man, I would really like to know more about the scriptures. I would really like to know more about how the Strong Concordance breaks down that particular word and that particular scripture. I would highly recommend the Bible thinker, Mike Winger, who did a complete series on this. He not only went through every scripture in the Old Testament and the New, but he also went into all the new arguments that are being made today. It's almost like apologetics. You have to be able to, as a follower in Christ, you need to be able to answer these questions. And so I would highly recommend Mike Winger's series on homosexuality. And he breaks it down with the inerrant Word of God. And you'll have a better understanding and a better foundation as you get into these subjects now, unfortunately, which are dominating our culture, and sadly, a lot of followers of progressive Christianity have abandoned the Word of God and adapted these things, and so it's sad to see, but that's where we're at. So simply, this is, a compromised Christian will negotiate with the wicked. Here is the second half and conclusion of this two-part study. He's going to destroy it. So what do you think Jesus' stance is from the Old Testament to the New Testament? Have you seen God change like that? Because I haven't. He says in Mark chapter 2, or 10, verse 2, Mark 10, verse 2, it says, "And some of the Pharisees came up to Jesus, testing him, and began questioning him whether it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife." Now, step one, if you're married and you're a male and male and male, or female and female, your marriage is not ordained or in a covenant with God. It is an abomination to God. And that's, look, I have a niece that's in this. Was given up to a debased mind. She knew God. She had walked with the Lord for a period. And then she started experimenting. Next thing you know, she got married. And she's living in it. I have another niece in South Carolina, in Charleston, where it's, oh, they love you if you're alphabet soup over there. The female that came into her life destroyed the marriage. Check, check, check. There we go. Maybe a little louder. I'll turn it down on my end. I got you. I'll come down over here. So when we read this, if you're married and you're male and male, female and female, this doesn't, and I guess we have to say this too, if you're biological male, married to a biological male, and a biological female married to a biological female, you're not in a covenant with God. It's important for you to understand, when you marry your spouse, you're in a covenant with God. Every marriage, whether because you're created in the image of God, between male and female, is to be fruitful and multiply, even if you're walking not with God. You may not come to understand that covenant until you, like us, we were 22 years in the marriage. And then that's when we were like, oh yeah, we were married in the church. Oh yeah, we did do counseling, didn't pay attention to anything that dude said. We just did it because we needed to get married. But we were still in a covenant. And we were being fruitful and multiply. We had 5 kids. But we came to know Christ. And I love this because he says, and he answered him. This is Jesus speaking in Mark chapter 10, in verse 3. It says, "And answered them and said to them, what did Moses command you? They said, Moses forbidden a man to write a certificate of divorce and send his wife away but Jesus said to them, because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation," and this is important to get, this is Jesus speaking, "God created them male and female." But for what purpose? Now, we have to define this today, because this is why they switch words and change words, and they ask, what is a woman? A biological woman is the only one who can give birth to a child. I don't care what you cut off, add on, you have to be a biological woman. That's how God created you, in order to have children. So, and he says it right there, male and female, right? And he says, "God created them male and female for this reason. A man shall leave his father and who? Mother." Not father and father, or mother and mother. Oh, Jesus never spoke on this. Yeah, he did. You just didn't want to listen. You didn't want to hear it. And he says, and then he says, "And the two shall become what? One flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together," yes, no other person is to separate. No other person is to separate. See, what we do is we misinterpret the scripture to try to eisegesis our argument. Why do I have to eisegesis? I don't have to. I want to exegesis. What did Jesus say? Jesus answered this, maybe indirectly, but he's answering it. He's saying, look, the only, and this is the other part about this, because when we talk about sexual morality, we can't just focus on the alphabet people. If you're living together and having sex, and you're not married, you're in sin. If you're married and looking at pornography, you're in sin. It's sexual morality. You're lusting after someone else. See, these are the things that nobody wants to talk about, because it's, well, we have to deal with our stuff then. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, it says, "Now concerning these things about which you wrote, it is good for a man to touch a woman,
But because of sexual immoralities, each man is to what? Have his own wife. And each woman is to have her own husband. Oh, they never talked about this in the New Testament. Yeah, they did. You just didn't want to listen. You want the Queen James Bible, which is false. It's heresy. The husband must fulfill, and this is the part nobody gets. I want to teach this to the men one day about why. The husband must fulfill his duty to his wife, likewise the wife also to her husband. And the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband also does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Stop depriving one another, except by agreement for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again, that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. When you neglect what God considers, what does God consider the marriage bed? Do you understand that the marriage bed is worship unto God? When a husband and a wife have relations, it's worship unto God. Anything outside of a male, biological male, and a biological female that are married is sexual morality. It's all sexual morality. And see, we don't ever talk about these things. I don't think I've ever been to a men's retreat where they've ever dealt with that subject. Because every man thinks he needs to have it all the time. You got women to have kids, you out of your mind. You have 5 kids running around, that's all you got on your mind? You need to be tired before you go to bed. You should not even be able to keep your eyes open at night. Oh, I'm not being satisfied. I'm going to go to Pornhub. You're going to sin. Satan's like, come on. She don't love you. She don't even want to hug you. Come watch this thing. And you just fall right into it. Like, man, I don't know why I came to church tonight. Right? I knew this was going to be a tough. We're not even through. We haven't even got through verse 5. But he says in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. But this I say by the way of concession, not a command. Yet I wish that all men were even as myself. However, each has his own gift from God. One this way and another that way. But I say to the unmarried, to the widows, that is good for them if they remain even as I. So Paul is saying, look, if you can be pure and righteous the way I am, then do that. But look what he says. But if they do not have self-control, let them be married. For it's better for them to be married than to burn with passion. Why? There's blessings in marriage. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28, it says, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the living things that moves on the earth. And we see in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4 and 6, it says, marriage is to be held as an honor among all. And the marriage bed is to be undefiled. So, if you think, oh, well, we need to spice it up, we're going to watch pornography together, that is sexual morality. Because you're lusting after something you're not supposed to. You're defiling your marriage bed. So we're not just dealing with, when we talk about sexual morality, we're not just talking about homosexuality. We're talking about anything that's outside the marriage bed. It's important for you to get this. And I love that because it is undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. God's going to judge them. God's going to judge them. In Jude chapter 7, verse 7, as of Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual morality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know, it's strange flesh and understanding, like they wanted to rape these men. Rape them. And I've told y'all, like when you look at scriptures like Leviticus 22, where it says you shall not lie with a male as with a woman, it's an abomination. Or Leviticus 20 verse 13, if a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, but both of them committed an abomination, that shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. I hate to tell you this. All those wonderful homosexuals from the LGBTQIA alphabet crew that's supporting Palestine, if you were in Palestine, you'd be put to death. They would stone you to death because they still follow this law. You go marching down there with your little pride flag, it's done. They're going to just, you're done. They don't put up with this. And yet you're supporting, like you have no clue what you're supporting because you've been given up to a debased mind. You're just running from thing to thing. We have teachers that are in California that have pushed this on the kids in the school. They won't even tell the parents. They have separate clothes for the kid to put on. So, you know, Terry becomes Terry, the other female part, and they have clothes for her to put him to put on her when she comes to school. And she has to be called by she and her pronouns. And if a student says something that's out of line, beyond that, they get suspended. And the parent had no clue. And so when the parent found out, they want to go after the parent. It's sad, but this is where we're at. This is where we're at. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 11 says, but we know that the law is good. So when we look at this, people will say, well, that's all Old Testament law. But we know the law is good. Timothy tells us that. Paul tells us that in there. He's telling Timothy, like, hey, but we know that the law is good in 1 Timothy chapter 8. If one uses it, what? Lawfully. Knowing this, the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the, what? Lawless. And insubordinate, for the ungodly, for the sinners, and for the unholy and the profane, for the murderers of the fathers and murderers of mothers, the manslayers, fornicators, sexual morale, and for the sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, was committed to my trust. The sodomites, the fornicators. It wasn't only in Sodom. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50, it says, behold, there was guilt of your sister Sodom. She and her pride had pride excess of food, and prosperous ease, but did not aid the poor and needy. They were haughty and did an abomination before me, so I removed them when I saw it. So one of Sodom's sin to go with the homosexuality is pride. Have you ever tried to figure out why they call it Pride Month? We're fixing to get ready to go into it, so you need to be ready for it, because it's coming. It seems like they try to make the whole year now that. The reality of it is like we only got through one verse tonight. I'm sorry, we will chug along, because we didn't even get to the part where Lot just offers up his daughters, which I, as a father, I have no way of understanding that. I don't care about hospitality that much. I'm like, hey, bro, y'all on your own. you're angels, y'all got it. We'll wait in here while you deal with stuff. But the fact that he even offers that is sad. But pride is the beginning of sin. It's where everything bad happens. And so to call it Pride Month, right? It's just a reminder, like, pride comes before the fall. You're embracing this. We have, what is it, RuPaul's drag show now. You know who did more? I think it was, who was it that said it? I forget what interview it was, but they said Tyler Perry did more for transgender than anybody because he wore a dress and made it acceptable. Oh, no, I love Tyler Perry. I don't. That's a man acting like a woman, trying to make me laugh. It's not that funny, dude. Melton Burrow, before him. Oh, Lord, I'm really giving up my age. Star Search. That was the name of the show. Now, look, there's the other age. Now you gave up your age. Ah! Things I don't need to have on my mind, right? And so we see sexual morality is clearly defined within the Bible. And so when you see the human rights campaign, it's completely wrong. So if you ever want to give a teaching on how not to interpret the Bible, you can use their interpretation. It's sad, but it is completely eisegesis. They have taken it and tried to twist it and turn it, and they've even added transgender, which I don't think I've ever seen in the Bible, except because we know that God created a male and female, so that's defined too, right? But they use a lot of different twists and turns to try to make it work. So we will finish up. I promise we will get through this next week. It's important because these are arguments that y'all are dealing with on a daily basis, especially with those that are in the workforce. If you're in the workforce, y'all are dealing with some heavy stuff, and I'm praying for y'all. I want you to know that, because you're being tested every day. Every day. Your faith is being tested every day. And I pray, you know, it's not easy. We have loved ones. Pray for them. Pray that they come to church. They think because if we share what we just shared tonight, that's hate. They consider it hate speech. Or you're just judging me. No, dude, people judge me too. When I was in my mess, people judged me all the time. And they were trying to get me to walk away from my sin. But they weren't judging me. It was the Word of God that was. They're like, Mike, you're in idolatry. You've committed adultery in your marriage very early on. You need to get right. And I'd be like, no, man, I got it. And in my mind, I would think, well, I'm not going to commit adultery. Now I'll just look at pornography. I'm still doing it. Remember, that's all before Christ. God got a hold of me, and man, what a mess I made of my marriage early on and the stuff I put my wife through because of sexual morality. So when I sit up here, it's not just to act like, oh, I got it all figured out. I went through it. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to live a life of sin and to have people that you do have around you that are trying to live in righteousness and practice holiness. And they're looking at you and going, Mike, you need Jesus. And I'm like, man, you just mind yours. Let me do what I do. And I did that for 22 years. Because I can tell you everything that was in my Bible was my opinion. And do you get my Bible? Because I made my God. And I was chasing that false God just like everybody else. And I was giving up to a debased mind. But for some reason, God used the one thing through that divorce and through that possible separation that we were going through and possible divorce that we were looking at. God woke me up, brought me to my knees, and just revealed all of my mess. And I was like, I need you. I don't need the God that was created in my head. Right? That, you know that God. Like, hey, I'm in trouble. Let me go rub the genie. Like, hey, Lord, I need to get in the house. You threw me out again. Right? Please, Lord, I'll get it right. I'll do it. And then you're the next day, you're chasing the same stuff. That's why it's like for us to understand, like, these verses are very important for us to get. It's sad to say that the thing that they were wanting to do was to rape the men. And so it's just a testament to how bad things had gotten. And you know, we see when we think about our streets now, think about the Pride Parade. Just this last year, there are kids probably 4 or 5, 6 years old. Is there a man butt naked dancing in front of them? And the parents are right there. Do you not think we are chasing the debased mind in the United States? We are. We cannot be a church that gets away from the truth of God's word. Okay? Now look, they're going to use emotions and feelings. That's what they do. To try to draw you in and, you're just being judging. It's not me that you're upset with. It's the word of God. So we're in a very weird space in the United States, and we need to stick with God's word. We need to stick with his truth, and we need to keep sharing the gospel. Keep inviting people to church. They will. Everyone that comes through those doors is welcomed. Every person, because it's God that's going to do the work in their life through the word of God. It's not us. You have somebody in your life, don't stop praying for them. I haven't stopped praying for either of my nieces. Look, because we all know you're going to get to a point in your life where life kicks you and you go down. And you do like, Lord, please. And it makes you look at things completely different. And that's when the Lord can really do some mighty work in somebody's life. And that's what we need to be praying for. We need to be praying for that. What does pride lead to? Pride leads to sin. That leads to addictions, that leads to sexual morality, that leads to unrighteousness, that leads, you just go down the list. And so that was one of the sins that Sodom was dealing with, was pride as well. Pride. Hey, look, we got a city. We got houses. Y'all living in tents. And yet when you get into the hearts of the men, young and old, they were all compromised with sexual morality and homosexuality. And to think that they were going to rape, that's the part that we need to catch in this. Hey, send them out. Send them out. That's where they were at. Let's pray.
Well, that concludes today's broadcast of Sun, Salt, and Light Radio. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you'd like to submit a prayer request or get in contact with us or find out service times, you can do all of that at our website, as well as get our podcast at Spotify, Audible, TuneIn Radio, pretty much wherever you can find a podcast. You can just type in Sun, Salt, and Light, and you'll find it.